the world is changing and our customers are changing. And I see articles about like college kids who are spending like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to decorate their dorm room. And how are we marketing to them? So like, I think that's where we're at a point in Industry West is like, we need to be pivoting. And I think a lot of that right now is in terms of our systems and just being more customer friendly and customer focused.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast. Here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, we are a show funded by our sponsors. They really do make all this possible. So brands listening in, please excuse me for a second or two whilst I speak to our supplier side listeners. Our 2025 sponsorship calendar is now open. So if you want to find out about that, get booked in, see what space we've got left, then please get in touch with me via ecmp.info/sponsor. All right. Back to business as usual. In this episode, we're catching up with Ian Leslie from Industry West again. Yeah, he's back for the fourth time. He first came on the show back in 2020, and now we have an almost yearly update on what's been happening at Industry West. Why do I let Ian back on so often? Well, because he's always up to something interesting. Last time it was billboards on Manhattan delivery trucks, direct mail and negotiation chatbots. So who knows what's coming up this time? Well, to be fair, I do, because I record this bit of the episode after I've recorded the bit with the guest. So I can tell you what's coming up. Prepare for, mainly we're focusing in on the details of the Shopify rebuild he teased us with last time that's led to B2B revenue increasing by 90%. So it's not a move to Shopify, that's a re-templating, a re-functionality on Shopify. He's also going to be talking about the beginnings of their exploration of the B2B module in Shopify and how that's helping them sell more furniture. And there's some other cool suggestions around tech you might want to try out. And we also talk about their B2B pricing strategy in a little bit of depth too. So lots of little bits and pieces to pick up here, especially if you're in that B2B space or you're selling furniture via Shopify. You will also at the beginning, I take us on a slightly random tangent into the world of politics. Just bear with it. It only lasts for about 60 seconds and then we'll get back to the good stuff. But it's vaguely entertaining, so I've left it in there. And make sure you listen to the end because Ian is unsurprisingly sharing some brilliant top tips, including a really cool piece of tech I'm about to go and check out myself. So make sure you stay tuned to the end. Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Ian Leslie is the CMO at US B2B homewares brand Industry West. It all started with Industry West in 2010, and now they have a Shopify store and B2B sales reps with sales of over $20 million a year. Hello, Ian.
Hey, so good to talk to you again.
Great to have you back on what is almost becoming an annual event, the Ian Leslie catch-up.
Yeah, just like Christmas.
Almost Christmas, indeed. So what's been happening since we last caught up with you guys at Industry West?
We've been busy. We've been doing a lot with Shopify. You know, we reskinned our site. We launched our B2B portal, I guess, if you want to call it, with Shopify, which has been really good. Homewares, furniture industry is a bit down right now in North America. So it's always an exciting time to try to figure out where we can pivot and be efficient and just keep keeping up.
And I don't want to get all political here, but would it be fair to say when there's an election pending that businesses hold back on investments like furniture? Is that one of the reasons why it's a bit tough with you guys at the moment?
I think economy always around an election is like, it's nervous going into an election and then hopefully a boon coming out of an election. I mean, as someone who's selling imported goods and one candidate is yelling about tariffs, I mean, no, there's no concern at all.
For everyone listening, we are recording this in August, just in case you're wondering why we're talking about. I think I'm right in saying when by December, the election will have happened, won't it? And we'll be in that. We'll be in the weird interim period between election and person being anointed.
Yeah.
I get the
By
words
December,
wrong.
We'll know how much trouble we're in.
Yeah. So just in case everyone's going, "There, what?" This is currently August. So much may have happened.
Oh, gosh, it's going to be such a long time until the election.
Such a long time, even over here in the UK. So let's move away from politics. You said that you've redesigned, because last time we caught up, you were just in the process of finishing the Shopify redesign, but it wasn't live yet. And you were telling us that it's been a really interesting process. So any key lessons that you'd like to share from doing that was really worthwhile doing or not doing? And I'm asking you this partly because I know you're a Magento man who was pushed to the world of Shopify. So I guess you've got quite a clear perspective on it.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess for anyone who doesn't know me, and how dare you not know me? When I started with Industry West, we were actually a Drupal website, crazy enough. And then we moved to Magento. And then I took a bit of a sabbatical from Industry West and came back. And when I came back, we were on Shopify from Magento. And I had never really done anything on Shopify, which is kind of funny, like, because I was, you know, going around saying I'm this e-commerce expert and really had never even logged into Shopify. So we were on Shopify and the theme was not great though, by any means. So we connected with a great dev design group called Tomorrow, which they're now called Domain, as they had a bit of an acquisition. We connected with them and it was an amazing process. They've done some amazing sites. I don't know about in the UK, but there's a brand here called Noble, N-O-B-U-L-L. They're a CrossFit brand that I was actually obsessed with before I even got to know this dev team. They do shoes and apparel. They did their site, which was amazing. They did Glossier's site, which, I mean, I think everyone knows Glossier. They did a couple furniture sites. So we got with them and they just did an amazing job of, like, you know, we weren't restricted at all. Like, I think one thing with Shopify, Jordan England, our founder, we had a bit of a downturn when we went from Magento to Shopify, at least with the website. And Jordan was like, we should go back to Magento. It's a Shopify issue. I was like, it's not a Shopify issue. Like, Shopify can do whatever we want. It was an implementation issue. So I think, like, kind of getting with a good dev partner and just like really scoping out, like, what do we hope to achieve? What are we as a brand? I mean, at the end of the day, we're kind of a bespoke furniture brand that sells B2B. So, like, we want to make it feel like a bespoke experience. We want people to really appreciate the aesthetic of the pieces and of the brand, and then, you know, buy 100 of them for a restaurant. And that's, like, where we really fit into this really interesting, you know, intersection of the Venn diagram of design and B2B. And so they did an amazing job with that. Like, I mean, I think like we did, like we've done some really cool stuff where we can change whether something's like a horizontal or a portrait or a landscape crop of a piece just based on like an alt tag. And we've just done a really amazing, I think they've done an amazing job of just presenting the furniture in a beautiful way. And I think that's something we got away from a little bit when we first moved to Shopify. But again, it wasn't a Shopify issue, it was a design issue.
I think that's such a great point to mention, that you can have all the functionality in the world, but if you haven't made it work for your brand and implemented it right, then it's not going to deliver for you. And there is a very juicy case study about you guys currently on the Shopify website, which says that part of this rebrand, this rebuild, has lifted your B2B revenue by 90%. That is a phenomenal number. Is there anything in particular that you're willing to share that you would put that lift down to?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to say it's true. I think if you Google Ian Leslie Industry West, I am the only e-commerce person who has a case study written by Adobe and a case study written by Shopify. So I think that's pretty awesome. And that's like, I think I'll put that on my tombstone. Yeah. I mean, I think like, what did we do different? Like I said, I think the aesthetic nature of the brand is like, so this sounds crazy. So like, when we first started, we would have people, when I say we first started, like one of our first Magento sites, like we would have people look at our site, look at the furniture, and then like chat or email or call in and say, can I purchase this online? Even though there was like a huge add to cart button right there. And when we moved to Shopify, we got like that stopped. Like, and it wasn't, again, it wasn't a Shopify issue. It was the fact that like our site looked like every other e-commerce site out there. And we got away from like the whole bespoke nature of it. And so we when we relaunched with the redesign, it was a bit more like we started to get those questions a little bit more of like, oh, can I buy this online? Like, oh, can I get like, do you sell to B2B? Are your pieces trade, you know, rated or commercial rated? So I think like, I think a big part of it is just, again, like that aesthetic and presenting the huge imagery and great imagery and making people just desire the pieces. The other piece is like we dumbed down the trade form, like to create a trade account, redid the trade page all together to make it just easier to navigate and to get to. We also updated our trade pricing. Like we had been on we'd been like at a quantity trade tier where it was like based on how many you purchased. And we changed that to the total purchase, the total cart value. So like it was so now it's like a flat trade discount, no minimum order. And then when you hit certain cart tiers, price tiers, it goes up. So I think that's helped as well. But yeah, I mean, we've done a lot more than I think we've done in the past in terms of like updating our automated marketing and marketing to the trade and reminding them of like what our trade benefits are. So I think like, I don't think it's any one silver bullet. But I think it was just kind of, and then there were small things. Like, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, but like the old Shopify site, you couldn't add multiple to your cart at the PDP level, which is like such a basic foundational like function. So like just making sure that we fixed that like is huge. Like that's, you know, taking away that roadblock. So yeah, just a lot of small things, I think. I don't think there's any one thing like, and if there was, I wouldn't tell anybody anyway.
Understood. I want to try and dive in a little bit to that pricing decision you made, because that's quite a big roll of the dice for a B2B business to go from volume discounting to simplifying it to cart discounting. I would assume that most people start off with wholesaling, where, you know, starting to go B2B with just a cart value discount because it's simple, and then they complicate it into quantities and all sorts of different things. So it feels to me like that's a pretty brave call to go, actually, let's just simplify everything. Did it feel like a brave call? Was it an obvious thing to do? How did you decide?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could say like we got our abacus out and really ran the numbers on this. But I think it was just like what's easiest for the customer. Customers, they just ask like, what's our trade discount? And it's like, you know, oh, if you buy 50, it's this. But if you buy 75, it's this. And if you buy 80 and a half, it's that. It's just like just make it easy on the customer. So I think like it was just like a really a consideration of what was easiest. But I also think we did it with the mindset of that we were going to be able to overcomplicate things down the road if we wanted. So like a lot of the numbers I'm telling you are simply based on us just relaunching the site with the same trade program aside for or the same trade experience aside from the pricing that we had on the old site since then. So I guess in July, late July, we actually launched the entire B2B module of Shopify. So in there, I mean, we can do a whole lot more. So if we have a customer who we want to give like a flat discount, but then also give tiered quantity discounts on top of that, I mean, we can easily do that with the B2B module and create like custom catalogs for that customer or that B2B wholesale client, whatever it is. So, I mean, I think it's like, it's easier to, I think just in light of that, and I don't know honestly that I thought about it, but now that I'm talking about it out loud, it's easier to go from like, okay, everyone gets this flat kind of tiered price discount. And then like the top 100 to 500 to 1,000 customers, we can make more granular kind of pricing plus quantity discounts. It'd be harder to go quantity discount and then change that for the top 1,000 or top 500 customers, I think. So, I mean, I think that was part of the conversation and part of the reasons behind that. So, yeah, and like I said, it's been about a month now since we launched the B2B piece, the true B2B module piece, and we're slowly starting to seed that out to some of our top web customers and starting to build out, you know, unique catalogs for them. And it's super interesting and fun, and it's just fun. I mean, it's like a it's a fun experience, and it's I would say it's something that in Shopify is. I mean, I know I was a Magento fanboy and like you know and all that, but I mean, it's a lot easier. Like Shopify is a lot easier.
And that the B2B module, are you purely just using the Shopify B2B module, or are you have you got any third party pieces coming in to help with that as well?
Right now, it's purely was built on the Shopify module. We've added like a small, like using like Order Printer Pro sort of stuff to like print POs and sales orders and that sort of thing. But otherwise, it's just flat Shopify right now. We are talking as a group of like, okay, what's next? I mean, I think that's as like a partner with our dev team, and we've had this conversation of like, I really don't want to do anything else on the D2C side. Like I'm actually having a hard time coming up with items for like, you know, managed services or retainer, whatever you want to call it, like for the D2C website. Like I think it's pretty awesome. Like I there's not a lot of a bug, like there's very few bugs or a few things I want to improve. Like for me now, it's like, okay, how do we, what do we do for B2B? Like how do we really expand that and add more bells and whistles and functionality to the B2B side. So I guess I imagine with that we'll include more, you know, apps and that sort of thing. But for right now, it's just the straight Shopify piece.
And how do you bring the sales team along with you? Because that's often where the e-commerce B2B bit falls down is when the sales reps aren't on board with the changes or that whole piece doesn't meld together really well. So how do you make that work?
That's a great point and a great question. It's something we've thought about a lot. I think first and foremost, it's like trying to educate them best we can. I think also, I think just them understanding that like, I used to be like, the website's doing this. Why isn't the sales team doing that? And the sales team used to be, why is the like, why someone called me, asked for an estimate, why did they just go to the website, place the order? End of the day, like rising tide lifts all ships. And like, we need to be better about like, okay, if this is a client who has had an email thread with a sales rep, if we push them into our B2B module and they start making orders in that B2B, like that rep is going to get credit for those orders. Like that's your customer. Like that's fine. So, I mean, and I think if the reps understand that and they do, like, then it's all good. Like, it's easier on them. I mean, they're not having to take the call. And we've had like a lot of like good use cases recently where, and it's something I'm hoping to do more of, is like, we have franchisees who they order the same stool over and over and over. Like, why do they have to go through a rep for that? Like, why can't I just create a catalog for them on Shopify that like has just that stool at the price we quoted them, with tiered discounts for as many, you know, as many as they buy, and like, go ahead and buy, like, go buy. And then the rep's going to get credit for that order. Because of course, there's going to be like, the rep's going to have to deal with the customer now and then in terms of like lead times or whatever, but still, like, just let them go buy. So I mean, I think as long as like, it's important in terms of leadership, of just understanding like rising tide lifts all ships, and that we're a team, and that, yeah, reps are gonna get credit for orders that they're touching. So yeah, I think that's important.
And what else have you been up to? I always love to ask you a very open-ended question because you always go up with some great answers, Ian. So what else has got you excited in 2024?
What else have I been up to? I just got a new tattoo yesterday. what else have I been up to? I don't know. We talked before we got on, like, we talked about my son and how like he's going into a trade, and like, it really makes, and not going to college, and it really makes me think about like consumers and how like we can't talk about all consumers as if like they've gone through 4 years of college and then graduate school. Like, you know, there's like, the world is changing, and our customers are changing. And I see articles about like college kids who are spending like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to decorate their dorm room, and how are we marketing to them? So like, I don't know, what have I been up to? We were talking in August, and I did get a lot of vacation time in this summer, which was fun. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We're just continuing. I mean, in terms of like me as a marketer, in terms of Industry West, I think we're just trying to really be as efficient as possible. And I think like, who was that? We were talking about like Abercrombie and Fitch or Aeropostale or somebody. And like, I think it was Abercrombie. And it was like how they're still a growing brand. And like, they literally pivot every 5 years. And like, I think that's where we're at a point in Industry West, is like, we need to be pivoting. And I think a lot of that right now is in terms of our systems. Like, we run way too many enterprise systems for a company that's doing $20 to $25 million a year. So just getting leaner in terms of our systems, and just being more customer friendly and customer focused.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop, or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, Ian, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So are you ready for the top tips?
I am.
Okay, the book top tip, yet again. I mean, this, you've answered this many times in many podcast episodes before, but if everyone listening agreed to this, she can't even get her top tips right. Let's try again. The book top tip, if everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I think I never give a business book. I think that's like my thing. It's like I've never read a bit, like I haven't read a single business book, but then I always relate it back. All right. Awesome book I recently read was Midnight Library by Matt Haig. Have you heard mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
So anyway, I love that book, even though it's a little bit cliche because it's all about the multiverse, which is like everyone's about the multiverse now. But I think like, so I'm going to relate this back to business. I think just as a professional, I think it's important to realize the grass isn't always greener. Like you're in the path you're in, like make it work for you, whether that's your website, whether that's your tech stack. Like, of course, you can pivot, but I think at the end of the day, that book is there. You have an ability to pivot, but what is the like? I always go back to what the definition of pivoting is, right? Like, we always say, "Oh, pivot, pivot, pivot," but you have to have your foot, one foot, foundationally in one place while you're pivoting around that pivot point. So, like that book is like, there's all these different paths, but there's always one foundational point, like that you're always going to be who you are in the situation you're in, and like that's not going to change. So, I mean, I think it's a cool book, and I think it's a cool book just to really think about, okay, what's the whether it's your business circumstance, your life circumstance, your tech stack circumstance, just take it in stride and, I mean, change the things you can change and don't really stress about what you can't.
Yeah, he's a great author, Matt Haig. I have that one on my pile of to be read, but I did read his How to Stop Time last year or the year before, which is very good as well. Less correlation to business, though.
Yeah, I'm the worst about not reading business books.
I go through stints, lots of business books, then none at all. But anyway, the traffic top tip. What were you going to say, Ian?
I was going to say, like, there was one book I was recently reading, and I don't even remember. I think it was, like, a customer service book, and it was written by a restaurant owner. And I really didn't understand the whole, like, it's all about just making your customers, the experience as amazing as possible. And like just reading the book, I don't think you can really understand that. But my wife and I were recently on vacation. We had the opportunity to, we were in Phoenix in the off season. So like everything is available to do because it's 120 degrees out and no one wants to be there. And we went to a restaurant that was run by a James Beard Award winner, which is a huge deal. And just like the experience of that restaurant and the customer service and the joy that like you saw from them to provide us with an amazing experience, I think is something that like really we need to think about more in dealing with our customers, whatever vertical we're in.
Oh, totally agree with that. And yeah, it's always great to learn from customer service is never harder than when you're literally with the customer the entire time they're having the experience, which has to be the hospitality world. Okay, the traffic top tip. Let's go there. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I think I've said this before, but we've seen more and more success with SMS. Like I was a late adopter to the SMS piece, but we have seen success there and frankly a lower unsubscribe rate than we see with email. So I think that's been really good. I think like I'd say not necessarily looking just at direct traffic, but how you're segmenting your traffic. We have really something I don't think I mentioned this last time, but something I've seen good success with is just like as we're talking to the trade, taking like all the bells and whistles out of our emails and just simply writing like copy based emails of like, hey, you're busy. I don't need to send you like a really glossy email. Like, here's the sale. Here's the 10 items that we're restocking this week. Have at it, like as if I'm writing an email to a friend. And we've seen amazing success with that between like dumbing down the emails themselves and also really segmenting. So not so much like a traffic, but how you're handling your traffic, I guess.
We can often get so hung up, especially with channels like email were going, we can do this, so we should. You know, we can put pretty pictures in, so we should. We can put a GIF in, so we should. But actually, especially in the B2B space, something which looks like it's been sent from Outlook can absolutely hit the money.
Yeah.
Okay, tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So I, for Shopify, if you're on Shopify, if you're not using Matrixify, you're missing out. Like, I have become such a Matrixify geek the last like 6 months that it's been crazy. So like basically this is just, hey, I need to find all the products on my site that have this value or in this category or whatever, and it can export it directly out of Shopify, and then you can change whatever you want to change and re-import the file, and it'll just like, it's just like an, it's like the Shopify bulk editor on like crazy steroids. And so I've been a huge fan of that. And it's really good too for like, we used it to export like from staging to production. I had like a bunch, we actually just moved some warehouse sale items from the warehouse site to the main site, and we didn't have the photos on the main site. And I was actually just able to like do a Matrixify export out of the warehouse site and import. And it's based on the CDN URLs. Super useful tool, super powerful tool, a little scary tool because you feel like you can override all your product data if you do it wrong. So a good tip someone gave me is just like, whatever you do, just test it with one item before you import changes to 5,200 SKUs. But so Matrixify is a really useful, important app, efficient in terms of efficiency for me.
That sounds like a real game changer, that one. Yeah, I would be totally checking that out if I had a Shopify site. Cool. Thank you for that one. The carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we're doing anything amazing. I think I've kind of said this before. We do want to be responsible and respectful and trying to, you know, combine shipments and that sort of thing. I mean, I think one thing is like, we're kind of Amazon-esque at times in terms of like, if someone has a slight issue with a product, we're just, you know, we're like, just keep it. Like, don't send it back. You know, it's not worth your time or our time or the carbon, you know, to send it back and to rebox it and everything. So we try to be really responsible about that. I think that's probably like where we're probably the most respectful and efficient in that regard. So yeah, that's what I would say. It's just like kind of our return policy and when we're really going to demand someone send something back.
The returns policy piece seems to be getting much more airtime as we get deeper into 2024. Like, not many people seem to be talking about it in 2023, but it seems to now be a big place where people have run the numbers, they've worked it out, and they've gone, actually, a lot of this, it makes no sense to do returns at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to lead to abuse of the system either from those I've spoken to about it. Have you seen anyone kind of abusing that, or has it all been good?
I don't think so. I don't think any abuse. And I think also now, like, you have some really cool softwares out there. Like, I've known Jonathan from a previous career, actually, but Jonathan over at Loop Returns, I mean, they do amazing work. And they're, you know, Shopify app. So, you know, in terms of like when to actually get a return, can we, you know, cross-sell them something else or send them something else. So I think they do an amazing job, and there's just different softwares. And I think, I think people are realizing, I mean, especially when you're dealing with like dining room tables, right? Like, I don't want that table sent back to me because it's going to get damaged. You're not going to package it, right? Like, it's ridiculous. So like, what can we do to get you to keep the table and not spend gas money and not, you know, but I don't think generally it's abused by any means.
Excellent. Cool. Okay, Ian, it's been brilliant chatting to you, as it always is. Before we say goodbye, though, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, so we are industrywest.com. We're on all of the typical socials. So find industrywest.com there. And then I don't know, do people say Twitter or X? I don't know. I don't say X. I am on Twitter. It's not X. And I am IR Leslie on Twitter. And that is where you will see me tweeting about e-commerce, business, soccer, my Jeep, maybe a little professional wrestling. I'm a bit of a geek there, and that's about it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Ian. As always, it's brilliant catching up with you. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast again and sharing so much again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to catch up with Ian. He always has a fascinating angle on the e-commerce space. And if you want to hear our previous chats, there's episode 466, where he talked a little bit about the Shopify move and also outlined some kind of super cool marketing things they're up to. And then 289 was our first ever catch up, and 332 is the other one. If you want to go and hear the full Chloe and Ian talk about Industry West, that's how to go about doing it. I think for me, key takeaways from this one would be how much impact they've seen from just really refocusing their platform, their website, on what the customer wants and how the customer sees the brand and the right way of communicating with the customer. And just a really clever way of making the most of the technology you've already bought, actually making it fit for your customers rather than what was there before. And then I thought that decisions around the pricing I thought were really fascinating as well, because I think it's very easy to overthink pricing, especially B2B. And it sounds like they're now much more simple order value discounts is driving great, much better results. And I have to say, I would be going away and trying out Matrixify. It's definitely worth a look, isn't it, if you've got a lot of SKUs sitting on Shopify. Okay, you can find all of our notes from this episode, including those top tips and the things to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct to episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct episode page. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, like our e-commerce explored webinar series. Why not have a look at that? Now, if you like this episode, then do make sure you check out our other episodes about B2B, which you'll find via ecmp.info/B2B. And of course, this is part of our month-long dive into the world of home and garden with a bit of a B2B twist this time. So why not check out all of those episodes by going to ecmp.info/home. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners to succeed and thrive with their businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.